is CFWN, Truly Local Radio, serving Northumberland County, a not-for-profit volunteer community radio station.
Hello, Northumberland County. This is Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's real estate talk show. I'm Dale Bryant, and I'm an active real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage. And Reality Realty is your local real estate forum where we take on, we talk about, and we interview guests on all things real estate and focus on the communities within our county. On today's show, we will have, as a guest, Lee Caswell. Lee is a real estate sales representative with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage. And Lee has a very strong background and experience with historical homes. Lee is a current member and a former board member of Port Hope's branch of the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario. And I'm looking forward to talking with Lee about historical architecture, what kind of historical architecture we find commonly in our community, what buyers are looking for when shopping for a historical home, and some of the challenges of selling and owning a historical home, and much more. We will also be doing Snapshot, which is a snapshot of our real estate market here in Northumberland County, and points to ponder. So let's get right down to business this morning and take a look at Snapshot, which is a look at Northumberland's real estate market today and the listings that have sold over the past month. We have had 71 listings sell over the past month. So obviously, our real estate market is slowing down heading into December and the holiday season. Our inventory, what we in real estate will refer to as our active inventory, we're at 306 residential listings for sale right now on the Northumberland board. If we take a look over the past 12 months, over the past year, and take a look at the successful sales in residential real estate, we can see that the average listing price of these successful sales over the past 12 months has been approximately, on average, $314,000 listing price. And these very homes have sold, on average, for approximately $305,000. So people who have been successful at selling their homes over the past year in Northumberland County have been receiving approximately 97% of their asking price in a market time of 63 days. And that 97% of asking price, that's been really steady since we began our show well over a year ago. What has changed is the market time on for having your house for sale before you have that firm sale. And we were starting in the high 80s just over a year ago, and now we've just very, very slowly came down to 63 days on the market. And that stayed steady for a couple weeks now. When I figure out the absorption rate to find out, are we in a buyer's market, a balanced market, or a seller's market? Our absorption rate today is at 23%. So we are still in a seller's market. And traditionally, anything over 20% is traditionally considered a seller's market. So if you're thinking of buying or selling a home, you'll want this kind of information, but you'll want this kind of information that's more specific to the exact area you're looking at, the type of home you're looking at, and the price band you're looking in. So talk to your local realtor. Your local realtor understands this Northumberland market, and they can help you with these statistics to give you the edge in this very competitive real estate market. The statistics and the information required to calculate the absorption rate come to us from the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors. Today, in mortgage rates, and these mortgage rates come to us from mortgage broker Carol Ann Bryant with the Mortgage Wellness Group, and they remain the same from last week. The best five-year fixed is at 2.54%, and the best five-year variable is at 2.05%. Thank you, Carol Ann, for these rates. That is your current snapshot of the real estate market in Northumberland County. Now for Points to Ponder, Reality Realty's Points to Ponder. Quite often I get our Points to Ponder from maybe an industry journal, an article that I've seen in a magazine. Maybe I've seen an online article. Maybe it's news, real estate in the news. This week, Points to Ponder comes from a question that you as home sellers will typically ask about this time of year. It's a question that I definitely as a realtor get asked every year at this time, maybe several times. And this question comes about when you have your home on the market, it's for sale, and it hasn't sold yet, and we're heading into December. You know, the market does slow down, as we've seen in the snapshot segment. The market slows down throughout December and January. And you might ask yourself, do I keep my house on the market over this winter holiday season? Or do I take it off the market and relist again maybe in February or March when the spring market starts again? Pardon me. There's really no clear-cut answer. Some of it has to do with conveniences, and if you want to be inconvenienced over the holiday and winter season. But I took a few numbers from last year. And last year, between December 1st and January 31st, in that two-month period, there were 96 residential homes that sold during that two-month period. Now, when I even take a tighter look right in the center of that holiday time, and I take a look from December 15 to January 15 last year, 39 of those 96 homes sold during that time. Now, these are sold homes. These aren't conditional sales. These are actual firm sales. So even though the market does slow down, there is a market. When you might be sitting back thinking, who in the world is shopping for selling their home at this time? Quite often we're a lot busier. We're doing extra shopping. Maybe people are doing extra entertaining, extra cooking, extra baking. And maybe the idea of having somebody, about you clearing your house and having somebody view your house during that busy time, maybe that's not going to work for you. But keep in mind, homes do sell during that time, even though the market does slow down. So that, listeners, is the Points to Ponder. Very appropriate for this time of year. And if you do have your house up for sale and you're thinking it either expires in December, should you extend the listing, or maybe you're just thinking of canceling the listing, suspending it until the new year, that will give you something to think about. I'd just like to remind everyone that the views and opinions expressed by me, my co-hosts, my guests of the show, or any of the articles presented do not represent the views and opinions of the station, of the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors, of any real estate brokerage, or of any other realtor. They're simply our views and our opinions at this time. So, without any more delay, I'd like to introduce my guest today. My guest today is Lee Caswell. Lee is a real estate sales representative with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage. Lee has, as I mentioned earlier, a very strong background with historical or century homes. He has a lot of experience with it. And he's currently a member and a former board member of Port Hope's branch of the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario. Lee, welcome to the show this morning.
That's great, Dale. Thanks. Happy to be here.
Yeah, we likely scared you a bit. I struggled a bit technically at the beginning of the show, likely wondering, what did I get into? And you know what? If you did, I was wondering the same thing.
No problem.
So, Lee, was I accurate? You're still a member of the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario?
I am. I'm just a member at large. I was on the board mm-hmm. for a number of years, but presently just sort of do a bit of advisory stuff, help them find houses for house tour and all that sort of thing.
Right, the house tour. That's a big deal in our community, isn't it?
It is. This year was the 50th anniversary they just completed, and I think they raised somewhere around $50,000 over a 2-day event.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Can you, for anybody that's not familiar with the house tour, can you give us a little bit of a description in a nutshell, what that event is all about?
Sure. Basically, it's usually a 1-day tour, usually the first Saturday preceding Thanksgiving, so early October. What happens, they usually have in the vicinity of 8 houses in Port Hope or Hope Township. They haven't had a focus on Hope Township for a bit, which is now called Ward 1 Port Hope, or Ward 2, I should say. But the tour itself this year was a 50th anniversary, a big tour over 2 days, but that it'll go back to just being a 1-day tour. So it's really quite interesting. You get a ticket with the 8 homes described, and you can go to them in any order and between 10 and 4 on the day of tour.
And what kind of criteria are you looking for when you pick these 8 homes?
Well, it can be a bit of everything, really. The it could be an ultra-modern house that's just been built, or something heavily renovated, or something. I know our house was on 2 years back-to-back, once as a wreck, and the second year, hopefully, is something people would want to move into. We just moved in, like, days before the tour. That was a number of years ago.
Okay. So something, if you haven't had that on your radar, a very interesting event at the end of October that you... Beginning of October that you should put on your radar.
Exactly.
Well, Lee, today, because you have the experience you have with historical homes, I really wanted to talk about those. And when I think about historical architectural styles, we have, is when you look at it, it's not just a historical or century home, is it? There's actual different styles in amongst this title of historical homes. Could you tell us a little bit about what we could find in Northumberland County as far as those styles go?
Sure. I guess generally speaking, Canada sort of started in the Georgian period. Most of the homes in our vicinity, the earlier period that things are built, I mean, there's always exceptions, but generally speaking, I would say 1830s to 1860s, you'll find Georgian style homes. So some, even though the Georgian period predated that, what ended up happening, people came from England or the old country or America, and they brought the styles with them. If you went back to England or America during those time frames, you might find, people might think, oh, these are old fashioned styles, but it's the style that somebody was accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
They brought it with them and did a variation on a theme. So sometimes you'll find a really, really Georgian house with a lot of Victorian details inside because they were combining different available technologies and so on that they had at their disposal.
Right. So, I mean, at one time these were modern homes.
That's right. they thought of them as reflecting the highest status they could project. Houses, for instance, were always put your best foot forward was the theory. You put your best brick on the front of a house, you put your best and most deluxe windows on the front of the house, and everything behind, went further back in the house, was usually simpler and less ostentatious, I guess. Likewise, bedrooms on the upper level, no one would see those, so right. Trim and so on tended to be very simple up there, whereas your parlor had all the snazzy new bells and whistles that they could muster.
And if anybody is interested, if anybody likes the idea of exploring the different types of architecture in our county, there's a great book that I picked up at Furby House Books, and it's one of my favorite. It's from Georgian to Vernacular, and Architectural and Historical Inventory. And I understand the conservancy you belong to, very instrumental in creating this book.
That's correct. Yeah, it was based on an inventory that was begun, I believe, back in the early 80s and never really got published. So I believe the ACO, it's called, Port Hope Branch, took the data, compiled it, put it into this book form. So we've got a sort of a running inventory of certain streets and so on. So it's just any information about the property. For instance, maybe they know a builder who owned the subdivision, if you will, and what sort of styles and descriptions of the property and its attributes, I guess.
Yeah, really, really neat book. And I think there was, I'm trying to think, 135 maybe different homes that are featured in this inventory in the book. And just like Lee said, it gives you a lot of facts about the home. Even the book, I think the book was printed in 82. So even who the owner presently was in 82, and a little description. And what a really neat way to learn about the different styles within historical architecture. And yeah, I really like that book. And a little tip for our Reality Realty listeners. I got mine at Furby House Books in Port Hope. And I went online last night, and I happened to notice they have a sale tomorrow, Friday, November 27. They have a sale where from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. there is 20% off everything in the store. So a little plug for Furby House Books, and a little tip for our listeners. If you like books like this, or any books for that matter, visit Furby House tomorrow evening from 6 to 9. Lee, is there a particular style of historical home that people tend to gravitate to more?
Well, I think, again, the basis was the Georgian home, which was all very symmetrical and formal. And from that, we grew into more Victorian. So I think it's become sort of a personal choice. Georgian styling was done in that earlier time period, as well as there were revivals along the way after the turn of the century, you know, circa 1900, 1920, they did Georgian revival type homes. Very classical, very simple. I always say with a Georgian home, your hands on the doorknob in the front hall, you could practically be blindfolded. You know, you're going to go to a parlor on the left, a dining room on the right, the kitchen behind the dining room. So it's all very simple and straightforward layout. Whereas Victorian homes tend to maybe get a bit busier, not necessarily a center hall plan. Rooms kind of ramble on from one to the other. So it becomes a personal preference thing.
Right. And so, yeah, some of these preferences would be maybe related in a practical sense as far as a workable floor plan. Maybe other personal preferences would be related to fit finishes and features and visual aspects, I would imagine.
Yes. Yeah, you get a lot of details that go along with a period. I mean, the Victorian homes tended to get very busy and had a lot of fancy woodwork, spools and elaborate staircases and so on. Whereas, again, the Georgian tended to be very, very simple. I mean, we do have other periods of houses in our area. Going back into the arts and crafts period and the Art Deco period, which came, Victorian sort of ended, you know, 1900. Arts and crafts was 1900 to, say, 1920. Art Deco was 20s till the 40s. Those last two, we don't really have very much of that around our area. It's based on prosperity. The towns, I speak to Port Hope because I've lived there all my life, but it was very prosperous in the early days. The downtown was built almost entirely between 1840 and 1870. So over that 30-year period, that's a heck of a lot of building went on.
Right, yes. I understand we were a little bit of the center of the universe for a while.
For a while, yes. I mean, when the train came through the harbor, you got this modes of transport that intersected, so that created a great destination for shipping and handling things. We had the river where wood was floated down the river, mills along the river, and so on. So it was quite a prosperous area, and then it ended, and that's why there really wasn't so much happening thereafter. That's why there's very little, as I said, of the Art Deco or arts and crafts homes built. Because it just, the town was not prosperous. And why did a whole bunch of it not get torn down? Because the prosperity wasn't there. So it just sort of froze everything in time. So that's why we indeed have this inventory that we have.
And we're the beneficiaries of
That's right.
all that history.
So we better look after it.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Lee, we're going to take a short break. Folks, you've been listening to Reality Realty Northumberland, 89.7 FM's local real estate talk. Join us after this break. We'll continue to talk with Lee Caswell about what buyers of historical homes tend to look for when house hunting.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests of Reality Realty are not necessarily the views or opinions of Northumberland 89.7 FM. The information given is designed to be informative and helpful. You should always consult a professional when buying or selling your home.
How do you describe contemporary folk? Acoustic? Yes. Roots? Sure. Americana? That's a newer buzz term, but yep. Celtic? There's a bit of that. Bluegrass? We'll throw some of that in also. On Sunday Coffee House, we'll mix it all together to come up with a show that's pretty diverse with music from the heart, from the soul, from the earth, and sometimes from over there. You can learn more at sundaycoffeehouse.com. Better still, listen. I'm Greg Schatzman. Join me every Sunday at noon for Sunday Coffee House on Northumberland 89.7.
A visit to Hermes is an unforgettable experience, especially for the holiday season. At Hermes, you will find the perfect gift for everyone who is on your list. For this Christmas season, let Hermes craft the perfect charcuterie board for your special gathering and choose from over 50 varieties of artisanal cheeses and meats. Enhance your local Christmas shopping experience with elegance and sophistication this season and visit Hermes Fine Foods and Gifts just north of Port Hope on Highway 28, 905-885-9250.
As a local business owner, would you pay to advertise your service in a shotgun approach to a broad market or to an audience that is right for your business? Would you try and promote your business into another area code where there's three others doing what you do or into your hometown where you're known as one of a kind? Northumberland 89.7 is specific and local for the people of Northumberland County. Northumberland 89.7 is unique and original, just like your business. Give us a call at 905-372-2391 or email us at sales@northumberland897.ca.
Who's ready for some fun at OLG Slots and Casinos?
Yeah!
Wait, where's Mary?
Yeah! Woohoo!
Mary, did you win?
Did I? Have you seen the menu? Mary's going all in!
Wait till she sees all the slots.
Oh, wow!
Too late.
Visit OLG Slots at Kawartha Downs. With thrilling slots, delicious food, contests, and more, fun wins every time. Plan your next visit at olgfun.ca today. Must be 19 years of age. Know your limit. Play within it.
Welcome back. This is Northumberland 89.7 FM's Reality Realty, and I'm Dale Bryant. And my guest today is Lee Caswell, real estate sales representative with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage. And Lee, I apologize during the break. My faux pas on the board seemed to continue this morning, and hopefully I got all that out of my system now.
Looks seamless to me.
Seamless. Yeah, a seamless sort of Keystone Cop act here. But before the break, Lee, we were talking about some of the common styles in architectural, historical architecture in our community. One of the things that's of interest, I think, to our listeners is you can have a historical home, and it can be a designated historical home, or it can be in a designated area. To a homeowner, what's the difference, and what does that mean?
Well, designated districts tend to be things like the main street of Port Hope and of Cobourg. Tends to be key areas that the powers that be believe should have a interaction amongst each other, whereas the homes that get designated tend to be one here, one there, unless they happen to be in a district of some sort. Most of them in both the towns, I would suggest, tend to be commercial streets when you get a district and individual houses when you don't. I think Port Hope has upwards of 300 when you count all the storefronts and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Tends to mainly be what you see from the street. It can be other elements can be internal elements, like a special fireplace or a specific paint job or some such thing, a period one. But generally speaking, what you see from the street is what is designated, and that's what they seem to care the most about. Not to say they don't care about what goes on behind the building, but it's, again, it's what we present to the public. I always think the front of the house or the front of the building, it's almost like we all own it. It's not just for the homeowner. So it's a responsibility to everybody, I think, to keep it in good order and a period flavor.
So if you are the owner of a home in a designated area, maybe as part of an area, part of the main street, but there's some homes within that area.
Yes.
If you're the owner of that type of home versus a home that's been designated as a home, a historical home, with any of the restrictions that might be involved in how you treat the outside of your home, will there be any differences if it's just happens to be in the district, or if it happens to be specifically designated as a historical home?
I wouldn't say so, but there's probably some exceptions. Like if a property ever burnt down in a historic district, for instance, you'd look to your neighbor's buildings to, if something had to be replaced, to features, scale, all that sort of thing. You don't just reinvent it or put in something that's inappropriate.
Right. So you're going to have to build something similar that ties in.
Right. Similar silhouette, that type of thing.
Right. Yes. Now, when you're working with people buying, looking for something historic, they're looking for a century home, what kind of things do they most value when they're house hunting?
I would say the period features. I mean, it can be a lot of things to a lot of people, I suppose. Sometimes it can be the land associated with a property. Sometimes it could be the quality of the materials, the style of the house, the neighborhood. All those things can be an important factor. But I would say, as long as the bones, a lot of people are after good bones. I mean, I would suggest that the mood is not there at the moment to be tackling large restorations by and large. I mean, I always say I'm happy to sell a house of any sort, be it a fancy house in great condition, or, as I call them, sort of a bag of bones that need the whole treatment. That's what we bought ourselves when we bought our little house. It was kind of an interesting example. It was a real wreck. The house was right on the corner. The property line, in fact, was the brick wall on each side.
Right, yeah.
And it was a small lot, so it didn't appeal to a lot of people. But we saw it as an advantage. The house was shoved right to the corner, gave us the biggest amount of backyard we could have. And we tore off a garage addition and built a architect-designed addition that housed a new entryway. And anyway, I think we looked at the site as an asset, whereas I think most people would look at it as a liability.
Yeah, perspective. Perspective can make a huge difference. Now, this was a historical home?
Yes.
And you talk about taking down that garage. Was there extra steps involved in getting permission to take down that garage and replace it?
Well, again, we involved an architect who is very good at combining old with new. Mm-hmm. And his advice was, we're just getting rid of a building and let's build right on the same footprint. So we weren't asking for anything extra, if you will. We just wanted to rebuild. It ended up being on the property line, which, again, you normally would not be allowed to build. So it was like we were replacing a garage. Mm-hmm. And believe you me, the garage was... There was nothing to knocking it down. It was just a piece of crap.
Yeah. It could have happened on its own, I guess.
That's right.
Yeah. So I mean, that's removing a liability.
That's right.
Lee, I'm thinking of, so you mentioned features, finishes. So I think when I take people through an old home, a century home, they're just melting like butter when they see those big baseboards, or they see the crown molding, or the hardware on doors, things like that.
Yes.
And so valuable to them. I'm wondering about people who buy a Century Home and maybe some walls need work. And instead of replastering, they put up a sheet of drywall over top of the old wall. Is that a faux pas? Is that a no-no?
Well, that's a kind of a difficult question. I suppose it depends on the circumstance. I mean, I view it that you should pay respect to the structure. So if you put another layer on, is it going to kind of screw up the placement of the baseboard? Is the baseboard going to look like it's sunk into the wall or trim? I think as long as you sort of respect the original intention, what we did in not so much the house I live in now, but we took off the actual plaster, left the lath, and then you're sort of replacing your layer of drywall in the same thickness as what would have been the old plaster.
So your baseboards, your crown molding still have the same profile.
That's right. They aren't, they're sort of respected again.
So I imagine there could be some purists out there, though,
yes,
who just, that would, to them, that would be a shame, though.
I think some people would, but I think by and large, that's the easy, you've got to find a happy medium.
Mm-hmm.
So drywall is a much easier product to work with, and there are artisans around to do it,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to plaster. There's just not many people around to do that craft anymore, mm-hmm, at all. People can repair it, skim coat it. There's many things you can do to try to work with the original plaster. But by and large, most people tend to deal with drywall. And then you can get in behind a wall, perhaps, do some insulation,
mm-hmm,
deal with the wiring.
Find some things out while you're doing that.
That's right. Make sure the structure's in good order before you tackle anything more.
And Lee, you mentioned something, blending old with the new. I know personally, I go into these historical homes and I see someone say, well, it could happen in any room, but say in a kitchen where the character of that old century home still exists, but you might have a nice new granite top countertop. You have your upgraded appliances. There's this blend of old and new. I personally, I love it. I think it takes the best of everything. How do you feel about that sort of approach?
I feel the same way. I think it's great. We have to move forward. I think the big thing I try to always think about, you sort of respect what you're given.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. I know of for instance, a little cottage in Port Hope where somebody threw away an original corner cupboard in a kitchen, and they put all marble floors and marble everywhere. Well, it didn't respect the structure that you were given.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cottage. You should treat it like a cottage.
Right. I guess it could be easy to lose sight of that.
It's true.
But if you're working with a professional and you bring on, like you said, with your project, you bring an architect along, and that architect would definitely, I would expect, be very conscious of keeping up the tradition of the home.
Well, ones that definitely have that background with historic homes, I think it's money well spent. You get a project that focuses your ideas. I mean, you work with an architect to tell them what you want out of life,
mm-hmm,
and they interpret it and make it a workable scenario and something you can get a building permit for and so on. So
mm-hmm,
I truly think it's money well spent. And we've all seen, I'm sure you have, Dale, many projects that don't really, they kind of go off in
mm-hmm
all directions.
Yeah.
I always say to people, when you're tackling a reno, you got the hammer in your hand, put it down.
Yeah.
Come up with a really good plan, involve professionals, then proceed. But really think it through, because you can throw away so many original features. You could just kind of go off in a different direction that maybe isn't so logical. Another thing, too, you can be very prejudiced by what you see in front of you. Oh, the kitchen's in this front room. Well, it doesn't mean it always has to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I always feel kitchens should work with terraces and outdoors. Move the kitchen if it's a kitchen you're going to be replacing, if it's feasible.
What about, Lee, the people who tend to gravitate towards these century homes? Can we do some broad brushing? And do you find there's a certain type or types of people who gravitate towards them?
Well, I would, Yes, in loose terms. I mean, some people, we all buy a house for many different reasons. But, you know, again, we sort of touched on it. Some people are hung up on the neighborhood. Some people, the style of house. Some people, just the age. But by and large, I would say people that are hunting for historic homes have an eye on quality. You're being given something that, well, it's survived the test of time so far. And if you respect it, it'll just keep going on forever. I mean, period. I'm a big believer in old period windows. I know a lot of people will not necessarily agree with that. But if you have good fitting period windows, for instance, and good quality storm windows, we had new storms made with UV film put on the glass. You don't have to take off all the storms necessarily for summertime. I think they're an easy fit. We only take two or three storm windows off, and away we go. You know, it just seems to work very well for and you've sort of respected the period again of the house.
Right, and the window topic, it's come up. If anybody's lived here in Northumberland County for a while and they read the paper, they've likely seen issues where controversy has come up with window replacement in historical architecture.
That's right. Yeah. And I think if you're wise about it, it can be a very expensive thing to change. But for instance, ours, we were missing some windows. There was a building a few doors away that had gotten rid of their windows. A friend was storing them for 20 years. We ended up putting them right in our house, and here they are 170 years old and still ticking. The quality of wood in those old windows can't be matched today with virgin forest, high resin counts. They just don't rot like new wood does.
Right.
So you've got the built-in, the early product is always the better one if you can work with it.
Well, and just, I mean, to add to what I've experienced, the type of people who tend to gravitate towards these homes, I find sometimes it's just someone who they might even be a young person, but they grew up in one, and they just love it. It just reminds them of growing up, their childhood,
or visited grandmother that lived in one. They have a romantic vision of the past.
Exactly. Artists, I find people that have artistic personalities. It could be theater arts. It could be visual arts. Those people, they find something in those century homes that others just don't.
That's right.
Yeah.
Also, you're given a wonderful background, a wonderful shell to work with. And again, nobody wants to live in a museum with all, you know, old, decrepit furniture or something. So to my mind, you can combine anything in a lot of these places. And you get wonderful modern art or modern furniture mixed with antique. So you can really, they're very versatile. You're given a great shell to work with. I think this is, use it wisely.
What about, Lee, the home inspection? You're working with someone and they're looking for a century home, and it's time, they put in an offer, and now it's time to do a home inspection. Do you find that people looking for this type of home have a different sort of tolerance when it comes to reading the home inspection report? Because after all, these homes are 100 years old plus.
Right. I mean, home inspections are a great tool. I think a lot of people, when they see it in black and white, can kind of freak out about what they see. You know, they panic. The wiring isn't necessarily 110% and so on. But most of those things, I find, are very easy to remedy. Yes, there can be some muss and fuss to it. But once it's done, once you've got everything up to a modern standard, you're just as good, if not better, than a modern bungalow. So I'm of a firm belief, like the little house we bought, I didn't really care what state the wiring was in because I was going to be replacing it all.
Right.
So,
and I'm thinking sometimes basements. I mean, you might have a stone basement. You might not even have a concrete floor in the basement. So the standards are going to be different than something that just was built in the last 20 years.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would imagine it's a different look when you're reviewing that home inspection report.
Again, if people have been familiar with older buildings and so on, I think they have a bit of understanding of it. But I think if you come in expecting it to be just like a house in the subdivision with a concrete floor and the wiring 100% up to date.
And a Tyrian warranty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's be nice to have all that. But anyway, I'm of the belief you can work with what you're given, improve it, and by the end of it, you'll have a house that is probably far superior with a great sized lot, wonderful treed neighborhoods. These are all things you can't fast forward. They have to evolve over time.
Yeah. Well, Lee, let's take a little break. Folks, you've been listening to Reality Realty Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk show. Join us after this break. We'll continue to talk with Lee Caswell about the benefits of owning and living in a historical home.
The ratings are in, and the Sunday morning brunch is a runaway hit, says Rolling Stone magazine. Northumberland Today claims Glenn McLaren is the host with the most. Okay, they didn't say that, but this is true, though. The Sunday Morning Brunch is simply a great show. No hype needed. With old and new features you've come to love, plus now, news, weather, and sports on the 30s, and a host that simply lights up your day. Join me, Glenn McLaren, 7 to 10 for the somewhat improved Sunday Morning Brunch on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Deep within the Northumberland Forest, there is a secret. Created by the spring-fed artesian wells of Mill Valley and bottled by Oak Ridge Springs. Mill Valley is a sodium-free, premium spring water rich in naturally occurring electrolytes and minerals. Visit oakridgesprings.com to discover which of their local retailers carry this natural, pure spring water, or reach them at 905-349-3495.
At Northumberland Veterinary Services, we know how important your pets are to you and your family. We'd like you to remember, with the holiday season, protect your pets from cold and salt, and remember that poinsettias are poisonous. Northumberland Veterinary Services also have cats for adoption. Michelle and Lex and all the staff of Northumberland Veterinary Services would like to wish you and your pets the very best of the season.
Welcome back. This is Northumberland 89.7 FM's Reality Realty. I'm Dale Bryant, and my guest today is Lee Caswell, real estate sales representative with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty, also a current member and a former board member of Port Hope's branch of the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario. Lee, when you're selling a historic home, are there any challenges to selling that home that don't exist with a more modern home?
Well, there could be. There's always, I guess there could be a few negatives that you may have to overcome. We live in a world now of full disclosure, so if there's bad wiring, we have to deal with it or address it or change it, one or the other. I like to go through, prior to listing a home, just as I'm sure you do, Dale, you go through and you kind of do a critique. Maybe it can be things like what has to be moved in order to sell a house, or things like the nuts and bolts. The wiring is not up to standard. There's a bit of asbestos. We hear all these buzzwords nowadays, moisture issues, and so on. So I like to make the client fully aware of it. And again, outside eyes usually cast a fresh glance. We see... We're a bit more critical of smells or whatever it might be. I always say to people, when you turn off the furnace, turn on the dehumidifier. I don't care where it is, because in the olden days we had basements with windows that opened and air got in and moved around. Well, now it's just kind of a closed up situation. So at least run a dehumidifier. It keeps your moisture levels down and the smells at bay.
So just being aware of what's real in the house, and some things I imagine you just, that's what comes with the century home, and other things are repairable. There's solutions to everything, just about.
Yeah, and you know, just tackle it head on when it's time. I mean, we all see houses that people just throw another layer on, you know, throw another layer of flooring over top of a layer of flooring over top of, you know, it. What good does that do long term? Yeah. You get back to the the original intent, usually it's a great product, so work with it.
Yeah, you wonder, sometimes you start ripping off those layers and you wonder, what was the first person thinking covering that up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it was just styles and fashion. Yeah. Oh, the most fashionable thing is narrow strip oak flooring. So mm-hmm. let's cover the pine with that in 1910, yeah. 1930, and we've still got it today under layers of broadloom and so on. So,
exactly. Lee, when you're selling a century home, you're often selling more than just, I mean, you did talk about your people are looking for a certain location, a piece of land, but you're often selling more than just the land and just the improvement, the house on it. Quite often you're actually selling a piece of history where somebody can own a piece of history. And I see in your listings, you do a very good job of advertising the history of the home as well, because there's value there, isn't there?
There is. It's what I think it's all part of the package. We're sort of blessed in this area where in both our towns, Port Hope and Cobourg, and the countryside, we've got a great variety of styles of homes. And for instance, just recently I sold two houses next door. They were built obviously by the same builder, but they put little variations in. One had a pair of French doors each side of the main door, and the other had just large windows. So even though they were the same shape and description of house, you got these varieties, mm-hmm. and it makes more of an interesting neighborhood, I think, where it's not all cookie cutter, the same, like you might find in some subdivisions.
But. Yeah, we that's the way we've headed, and that's where we're at right today. So, Lee, when you get called in to list a century home, is there any extra homework or research that goes in so that you can properly market the history of that home?
Well, I quite often ask people if they have any documents to do with the home. That could be antique photographs, old surveys or deeds. Quite often you'll see an interesting name on an old deed. Mm-hmm. These are all things I think that I like to think of it part of a package. You're putting the puzzle back together again. And what am I trying to do is point out all the best attributes of any given home or structure, and if we can identify builders and original land grantees of the land, mm-hmm. This is what happened. The United Empire Loyalists, for instance, came up from America after the Revolution and were allotted certain chunks of land, which they in turn had stipulations they had to develop or mm-hmm. farm in X period of time, and it can be a really interesting story.
Yeah, the great value. It would be a shame to sell a home like that and not tap into the value in that history. So, Lee, if somebody's right now, if they own a historical home and they don't really have that sort of history on hand, where could they go to find out more about the home they're in?
Both Port Hope and Cobourg have an archives. The Land Registry Office, I would suggest, could have some copies of old deeds or on microfilm, that type of thing. I don't think they keep the hard copies of anything anymore. Historical societies, mm-hmm. Organizations like the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario, there's a Port Hope and a Cobourg branch. They could have some information. Some of these, the books, I mean, Tom Cruikshank, who lives locally, along with John DeVisser, had done a lovely coffee table book about Port Hope Historic Homes, which has a lot of information in them about builders, original land grantees, photographs, mm-hmm. you name it. Just there's a lot of information out there. You just have to search for it.
Yeah, and like you're saying, a book like that, a great coffee table book, maybe you're not getting into a novel, but you have a few minutes, and what an interesting way to spend a few minutes learning more about your community and the architecture within it.
Another one, Dale, that just popped into my mm-hmm. mind is I quite often cruise through eBay looking at postcards.
Mm-hmm.
You search through them and you can see one that has some pertinence to an area you're in, or a shot of the downtown or the river or town hall. And there you are. You could see. You can get a lot of information nowadays with the computer. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, it's just having an idea where maybe to look and how to use it best. So, owning a home, a historical home, what are some of the challenges of we talked about challenges of selling one. What about the challenges maybe of owning a historic home?
What you might be up against in terms of, well, I guess the big one that would jump into your mind might be an all wood home, an old frame house, which you are going to have the ongoing maintenance of paint.
Right.
I mean, with a brick house, you're just painting wood trim, meaning windows and doors and that sort of thing, just like you would have to on a modern bungalow. The wooden home does pose more of a challenge. Because that being said, I think there's a lot of wonderful quality products out there specifically made for that task that can withstand the elements, and nobody wants to be painting their house every couple of years. So if you can prolong that one, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and the older I'm getting, the more I appreciate not doing those jobs.
We just don't have time.
Yeah, well, let's put it, my body's not the same as it used to be either. So what about, so there's a little bit more work involved. So
you're, there can be.
Yeah, there can be. So you're not getting something for nothing.
No.
But what about owning a historical home and living in a historical home? What would you say homeowners are getting that you just can't get from buying something more modern, more contemporary?
Well, I would say the scale is one thing right off the bat. Generally speaking, when we go into an older home, we have wide halls, large square-er rooms, great ceiling height is the big one. I mean, most modern houses, it's either, generally speaking, 8-foot ceilings. Well, most older homes, even little cottages, can be, 10-foot ceilings. I sold one that was not a big house, but you've got this wonderful height, which makes the room seem bigger. So it's there's a lot of bonuses you get. Things like fireplaces, deluxe trim, baseboards, doors. You've got something that you can work with.
There's a different feeling about even walking through a home like that, isn't there?
That's right.
Yeah.
And we're very lucky here in this area. We have companies like Legacy over on Division Street,
right,
which has wonderful quality house parts, period doorknobs that will match what you have. Antique shops like Smith's Creek in Port Hope, they carry architectural elements as well, and cupboards that you could find to match and fit in. That's one drawback with a lot of period homes. You don't tend to get a lot of closet space. So again, you've got armoires that will fill the bill.
Yeah, and we had, as a guest, we had Century Electric over, and that's an electrical company that very much focuses on preserving, finding techniques to work on your wiring system while preserving the home itself. So,
and he's trying to do it in such a way that's minimal amount of damage to the structure, which is
non-invasive,
great.
Exactly.
Right. And with that, he'll provide you with a ESA certificate. That's... We all hear Dale, you've seen those 101 times, I'm sure. But a lot of people, one word of simple advice, I always say, pin a copy of that to your fuse box. So it's always there. We are always searching for documents. So
yeah.
put it right where it belongs.
Yeah, that is absolutely a great place. And then people just viewing, they have a comfort level.
That's right.
When they take a look at that panel, they don't have to be an electrician. They can see that and say, one less thing to be concerned about.
That's right. At least it's a safe house.
Exactly. Well, Lee, there's a whole lot more we could talk about. We certainly didn't get around to everything about historical architecture in Northumberland County and the buying and selling of century-type homes. But we did hit on some key points. You're a great source of knowledge with this, and I thank you for joining me today. And if people are interested in learning more about their historical home or the purchase of a new historical home, how could they best get in contact with you?
I would suggest probably the easiest is through the website, and you can see a lot of examples of, and I sort of have a couple of videos there saying what I've gone through in the past, and anyway, the website would be a good place to start, and you can get resources and phone numbers and so on.
And do you happen to remember your website domain name?
As a matter of fact, LeeCaswellClassicHomes.com. So it's a pretty easy one to link onto, and I think it's a fairly good one with good pictures. We tend to do floor plans, mm-hmm. and the drone issue I know you've talked about before. We have a couple of drones on there, which I think tie in nicely, especially a couple of them are with water views, so you can sort of make sense of the site.
That's good use of drone footage for sure. Well, thank you, folks, and once again, LeeCaswellClassicHomes.com if you would like to get in touch with Lee, and all his telephone numbers and contact information will be there. Thank you. Thank you, Lee, for joining me today.
My pleasure, Dale. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. If you have any questions or comments about today's show or pertaining to any real estate, feel free to contact me by emailing dale@dalebryant.ca. Or call into the radio station at 905-372-2391. Don't forget to join me, Dale Bryant. I'm an active real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage. Join me next Thursday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon for Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Until next week, folks.
It's time for a jailbreak. The Jailhouse Rocks. Imprison yourself with incredible food at the Jailhouse Tavern. Friday night is steak night. A 10-ounce strip loin for just $12. Plus, enjoy live entertainment Friday and Saturday nights. While you're serving time at the Cobourg Jail, $5 drafts and daily specials. Book your private party at the Jailhouse. The Jailhouse Tavern and Inn, now under new ownership. 77 Albert Street, Cobourg, and at thejailhouse.ca.
Northumberland 89.7 is CFWN, truly local radio, serving Northumberland County, a not-for-profit volunteer community radio station.
Live, local, now.
Today's news is brought to you by Northumberland News. Local news, our focus here on 89.7 Truly Local Radio. Good morning and happy Thanksgiving to our American listeners on the internet. I'm Richard Quotemime. Northumberland County's OPP and the Northumberland Mall remind everyone about the Lock It or Lose It campaign. This holiday season, we all shop for our loved ones. Unfortunately, this also draws shoplifters and break-in specialists looking to steal your hard-earned goods and gifts. Lock your valuables while you shop, or keep them on your person in an inconspicuous manner. Keep your valuables out of the garage and in the home, and lock the home while you're away for any extended time. For more information and other safe holiday shopping tips, visit the OPP's website at www.opp.ca and search for the Lock It or Lose It campaign. The Northumberland County Art Gallery has received a $3,000 grant from the Rotary Club of Cobourg. The grant will pay for technology upgrade to the gallery's office, computers, and software. As you may remember, the gallery had closed its Victoria Hall office while it reorganized its structure. Ceremonial check giving will be held to the gallery tomorrow at 11:30. Port Hope is promising a warm celebration this weekend with a whole slew of activities. A packed program of events will kick off this weekend with the Candlelight Christmas Walk on Friday, commencing at 7 p.m. from Our Lady of Mercy Church at the corner of Pine and Walton. Enjoy the chorus of old-time Christmas carols as a candlelight procession makes its way down Walton Street to Memorial Park. The walk culminates in the park being illuminated into a Victorian village and transforming Memorial Park into a winter wonderland throughout December. Then, at about 1 on Saturday, Santa arrives going down along Walton Street from Bradley and Rideout Streets down to the corner of Queen and Augusta. Arrive early as parking may be limited. It's expected to be clear and about 1 degree, so please dress appropriately and make sure the children are bundled up. Over in Shelter Valley, a Shelter Valley Folk Festival fundraiser in Grafton on November 28th will feature two people recently named Fellows of the Royal Canadian Geographical Society. David Newland and James Keelahan were named RCGS Fellows earlier this month. Concert will be held Saturday, November 28th at 7 p.m. over at Grafton Town Hall, which is 10836 County Road 2, and a silent auction to benefit the folk festival will also take place. And finally, in the news of the weird and criminally incompetent, Vaughn style, thieves attempted to steal an entire truck of fine cheese. The truck had between 30 and 36,000 pounds of cheese. Fortunately, police used the onboard GPS to establish the vehicle's location. All three fled the vehicle after a police pursuit. One was caught on foot, the other two were arrested while attempting to hail a cab. Criminal masterminds, they weren't. Over now to sports. Last night, division leader Montreal traveled to rival division leader New York Rangers, and despite coming away with a 5-1 win, goaltender Carey Price was forced to leave the game in the second period. No word currently on the extent of that injury. Nashville squeaked by Buffalo 3-2, Ottawa's out in Colorado, and defeated the Avalanche. The Raptors defeated LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers 103-99 behind Kyle Lowry's 27 points last night. In local sports, the Cougars dropped a 2-1 decision last night to the Wellington Dukes at the CCC. The two teams battle it out tomorrow night, in Wellington. In the OHL, both the Generals and Petes are off until the weekend. In local sports, first place Port Hope returns to the ice tonight. And in the GMHL last night, Colborne defeated Shelburne 9-4. In the NFL, U.S. Thanksgiving Day games run all day today. Philadelphia is at Detroit, Carolina is at Dallas, and Chicago is at Green Bay in the nightcap. And as we've been mentioning, a former Peterborough Petes player is fighting cancer. Will B.J. Ketchison, a non-smoker, first learned he had lung cancer in 2013. He underwent treatment, but the cancer has returned and spread. A Facebook page entitled www.facebook.com/BJ's Battle has been created, and you can like the page and support him. You may find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Northumberland897 or check out our website at www.northumberland897.ca. Your truly local weather forecast is next.
A visit to Hermes is an unforgettable experience, especially for the holiday season. At Hermes, you will find the perfect gift for everyone who is on your list. For this Christmas season, let Hermes craft the perfect charcuterie board for your special gathering and choose from over 50 varieties of artisanal cheeses and meats. Enhance your local Christmas shopping experience with elegance and sophistication this season and visit Hermes Fine Foods and Gifts just north of Port Hope on Highway 28, 905-885-9250.
For over 25 years, Pritchard's Climate Care has been your personal climate expert in the Northumberland area. Pritchard's offers complete heating and air conditioning service and repair for your home or business. We make sure the air you breathe is healthy and comfortable. Pritchard's Climate Care has been one of Southern Ontario's most trusted installers of heating and air conditioning products. Sign up for our We Care maintenance plans and get your furnace service for half off our regular special price. Pritchard's Climate Care. We're not just your climate experts, we're your neighbors. Call us at 905-885-8216 today.
And here's the weather forecast for Northumberland County. Today, cloudy with a 40% chance of showers as we approach afternoon, a high of 10, gusts up to 40 kilometers per hour. Tonight, windy and cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 9. Tomorrow, we'll see a rainy day with a high of 9, but that will drop quickly and bring snowfall overnight as a cold front comes in with a low of minus 4. And on Saturday, sunny but cold, the high of plus 1, and Saturday night we'll see a drop to minus 8. Keep it locked right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. I'm Richard Quotemine.
Entering Stonewood Gallery is like visiting old and dear friends, but friends with impeccable taste. Dan and Kim Daigle feature the work of local and Canadian artisans, from custom furniture to antiques, wood turnings, jewelry, fine art, photography and giftware. It's all at Stonewood Gallery, just north of the 401 at 3311 Burnham Street North. Wednesday through Saturday, 10:30 to